Andrew, we are talking this morning following the announcement of the world's largest democratic election in India next month, and there are reports of a sharp rise in attacks against Christians. Why are you warning that the elections could make this worse?
Well, this is what Release International is hearing from our partners on the ground. We work around the world with people who are based in their countries, who understand the situation. And what they're telling us is be on your guard, because where you have elections, it's not just India, of course, but these are the elections that are coming up on April the 11th, you have a strong rise in people's passions and their feelings. So what Release International's partners have already spotted is that there have been a growing number of attacks against Christians within India, quantifiable, a large increase, up 57%. This year so far. I mean, that's a significant number. 325 attacks last year that they've measured. And so far in the first 2 months of 2019, 77 incidents of hatred and violence. What has it got to do with the elections? Well, at times of election, you get sentiment rising, you get passion rising. And a big passion that's been rising in India for some time has been a right-wing Hindu nationalism. The notion that is drawn deeply within their culture, there's something called Hindutva, which, this is a bit of an oversimplification, but it's the belief that to be Indian is to be Hindu. Therefore, anything that is not Hindu or not representative of Indian culture is considered to be foreign and potentially hostile. So we're seeing that rise. We have a right-wing government within India at the moment. It's a nationalist party. And along with it, we're seeing a culture of intolerance towards Christians expressed in the rising number of attacks.
Now, you mentioned the current government, that we know the Prime Minister Narendra Modi. He is a member of the Hindu Nationalist Party, the BJP. Are other religions accepted?
Yes, they are allowed by law in India. India, remember, is a democracy. But perhaps the best way of connecting with this whole issue is to talk about the film Slumdog Millionaire, which most of us will have seen, an excellent film. And if you remember in that, you see Hindu militants attacking, on this occasion, Muslims. And that's a constant thread throughout that film, the threat of Hindu militants saying these Muslims should not be allowed to be here. Now, they're allowed under law, but they are not tolerated. And we're seeing that same level of intolerance towards Christians. And that's beginning to seep out into the wider society. So a number of states within India have passed so-called anti-conversion laws. And that movement to prevent people converting others, particularly Hindus, to other faiths is growing. The laws are actually about preventing forced conversion, but in practice, to offer any kind of Christian charitable help would be seen to be bribery, so that would be illegal. To preach about heaven or hell would be seen to be inducement or generating fear, and that becomes illegal. So what it reflects is an intolerance within society, and that intolerance is growing, not just towards Christians, but to Muslims and others too.
Now, you mentioned the anti-conversion laws. I believe this is part of the Freedom of Religion Act that is enshrined in Indian law. So it seems to me that it's not about freedom of religion. It really is about repression of religion.
Yeah, it depends on how you choose to present it, doesn't it, really? The notion is that nobody should be forced to convert to another faith. And of course, we would all agree with that. But as I've said earlier, that if you actually do Christian charity work and you're giving out benefits to other people, that's portrayed as being a form of bribery and is therefore illegal. But to understand why, we have to drill a little deeper. So within the Indian caste system, the Hindu caste system, you have a group of people, a large group of people who are the lowest of the low. These are the Dalits, the so-called untouchables within India. They're outside the caste system. They're given the most menial jobs to do. And these people have been incredibly receptive to the Christian gospel, as you might understand. So the Dalits have been becoming Christians because Christianity expresses the love of God. It raises up the poor. As it says in Psalms, he lifts the poor and needy from the ash heap and seats them among the princes of their people. So the Dalits have been responding to this. And those within the Hindu caste system have looked at Christianity as rocking their boat. It's considered to be offensive. And within that intolerance, that culture there, we're seeing this rising number of attacks, which is a great concern.
You mentioned the increase, the quantifiable increase of attacks on Christians. Can you paint a picture about what kind of persecution Christians in India are facing on a day-to-day level?
Yes, I can. I mean, let me tell you a couple of stories. One recent attack, there have been a number of murders within India. Recently, two murders by Maoist militants. You might not associate India with Maoist communism, but it's there too. But even more concerning than that is releases beginning to get reports in of police who are cooperating with Hindu militants. Again, this culture of intolerance. So in one particular case in Tamil Nadu, police have joined with Hindus going door to door, telling Christians not to meet for worship. Elsewhere, we know that recently police broke up a Sunday service in Uttar Pradesh and they arrested four women and two men, including the female pastor who was leading the worship. They took her back to the police station and beat her unconscious. They thought that she was faking it, pretending to be unconscious, so they poured scalding water into her mouth. She didn't revive, and then they went on to charge the Christians with intent to offend religious feelings. And it's in that charge you can see where they're coming from, that the mere presence of Christianity in a background of intolerant right-wing nationalism is seen to be offensive. So Christians themselves, within this context, are seen to be offensive. I can give you another case too, and that is a recent visit by Release International to India. We met a pastor, Stephen, who'd been beaten up by militants after he applied for permission to build a church. He bought the land, he went to court to get permission. He was dragged outside the court, beaten up with rods and sticks, taken out to an animal shed, kicked, given an electric shock, partially strangled with a rope, and finally taken to a Hindu temple where he was beaten again and forced to sign over the land that he'd bought for the church building. As a result of that and stories like it, Release has launched an appeal to help Christians who are the victims of oppression to pray for them and to provide for them. But we know that in the case of Pastor Stephen, it's members of the ruling Hindu nationalist BJP who've threatened him, telling him he has to leave the area or they'll kill him. That's why we expect the elections that are coming to give a rise to these kinds of sentiments, and that's why Release International is calling for prayer.
We know India is a massive country, phenomenally huge, beyond what we can understand over here in the UK. They've got a population of over a billion. How is the Christian family thriving in India? I suppose, are they increasing? What kind of figures are we looking at?
Well, there are 28 million Christians. That's a lot of people. But of course, it's a tiny minority in a nation as vast as India, an entire subcontinent. There are enclaves of Christianity. There are parts of the country where Christianity is absolutely thriving. But all over the country, Release has been seeing this now for quite a number of years. The number of attacks against Christians has been rising. That culture of intolerance is rising. It's a little bit like the Asia Bibi case in Pakistan, where you see there a culture of intolerance that says, how dare you bring us a cup of water? That cup of water is unclean because you're a Christian, you're a Christian, you're unclean. And it's that kind of very personal discrimination that's taking place. But where you see the police actively cooperating with it, you see something becoming entrenched within the culture. Where you see anti-conversion laws being passed, you see that this is actually an attitude that is hardening within the culture. So over the coming elections, and the Indian elections are a triumph of democracy. They are a wonderful thing. But Release would say, please, let's just pray for the Christians there. Pray for God's protection. Pray that they will absolutely shine and flourish and be excellent witnesses to their faith. And remember that one of the reasons this is happening is because so many of the poorest of the poor within India are finding hope within the Christian message. They're being reached out to and they're responding to it. And the power structure within the country really doesn't like that.
As well as praying for our brothers and sisters in India, Andrew, how else can we support Christians struggling over in India?
I think everything begins with prayer, but there are very practical things that we can do. So Release is not the only organization out there which is helping oppressed Christians. There are other terrific organizations that are doing the same kind of thing. But I think whatever we choose to do, it begins when we carry people in our hearts. And for me as a journalist, I would say that the reason I do this work is because it allows me to tell their stories and give a voice to those who have no voice, to let them speak and tell their stories so that we can carry something of that concern for them in our hearts. And when we do that, we're moved to pray. When we move to pray, we're then moved to act. So it's not just prayer, it's also provision. If people would like to find out more about Release's latest appeal, they could go to the Release website, www.releaseinternational.org. But if it's in your heart, get involved, because there are people, there are brothers and sisters who need your prayers and who need your support.
Well, Andrew Boyd from Release International, thank you so much for your time.
That's a real pleasure, Helen. Thank you.